You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories. I am your host, Ross Jackson, and as always, I love to extend a big welcome and thank you to our newest listeners. So whether this is your first time or your next time, know that I love hearing from everybody that tunes in, reads, and follows. So know that you can hit me up at Ross Jackson ASC on Twitter, and of course you already know that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, where you can find my as well as other talented writers, articles, and podcasts, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news, opinions, and analysis for Saints fans by Saints fans. And I got a fun show for y'all today. We're going to start by taking a deeper look, looking more in-depth at the Saints win over the Browns on Sunday. Then we'll move on to our NFC South power rankings, just like we do every Tuesday. Completely objective, not at all biased in any way, shape, form, or fashion. The Saints might have won, but do they have what it takes to keep the top spot? We'll look at that, and then we'll finish up by taking a look around the league at the biggest stories from around the NFL. Someone didn't show up for work on Monday, and the Pats continued to search for help for Tom Brady. All of that and a little bit of land yap here at Locked On Saints. All right, so first I want to get started with this win, Saints over the Browns. You know, look, I'll talk about this a little bit more later too when I get to the power rankings, but it's hard. It's hard to be excited about a win like this when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback missing on a couple of touchdown passes and everything. So, like, that's kind of tough. The defense played better than they played in Tampa Bay, but still, like, late in the game started to give a little bit. Though their third down defense this week, which is what I'm going to, a little bit of what I'm going to be talking about, their third down defense this past week was great. I think it was 4 of 12 for the Browns, but on our offensive side, we stalled out on third down again, going 3 for 12. So there were a couple of negative things over on the offensive side, like I talked about yesterday, just having a lot of trouble getting both sides of the ball clicking at the same time. But I want to point out a couple of things about Drew Brees. First of all, this is the sixth time since 2006 that Drew Brees has started the first two games of a season without an interception. This is the third time that he started with more than 5 touchdowns and no interceptions. As of right now, he's one of 2 quarterbacks in the league, along with Patrick Mahomes over in Kansas City, who has more than 5 touchdowns and no interceptions. Patrick Mahomes has 10 touchdowns through the first 2 weeks, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Drew Brees has 5 touchdowns, but both of them no interceptions. The other things that I wanted to point out, this is Drew Brees' third highest passing total in the first two games of a season with 682. His previous highs were in 2016, 686, and then 2011, 689. Now, you're going to remember, or at least I hope you remember, because it makes me look at least a little bit right, that I talked not too long ago about how close the talent on this team is to the 2011 talent. And right now, at least from Drew Brees' production, it's starting to look that way. The run game is far and behind where we were in 2011. I'll talk about that in a little bit too. A couple of other things that I just want to point out. This is Drew Brees' second highest passer rating with 123.0. His highest was in 2009. You might remember something special happened that year with his passer rating being 132.9. So this is the second highest, I believe, in his since 2006, or am I looking at his whole career? No, this is his whole career. So this is his highest passer rating in his entire career so far, second highest, with the exception of the Super Bowl year. So, I mean, like, look, he's putting up numbers. He's got 80 attempts on the season right now. There have been seasons in New Orleans, 2012 in particular, to where he already had 101 attempts within just the first two games of the season, which is absolutely ridiculous. So he's not throwing his arm out like that. He's pretty much around the middle of the pack with 80 right now. So he's sort of in his in between, but pretty much the lowest, one of the lowest totals he's seen since being in New Orleans. Now, completion percentage is the one that I really want to talk about. Drew Brees right now currently has completed 65 of 80 passes. That's an 81.25% completion percentage. 81.25%. That's his highest in a first two-game total at the beginning of a season. The one after that, 75% in 2009. So, I mean, look, he had a little bit of trouble against the Browns. He's always got trouble against the Browns. Before this past game where he posted 114 passer rating, I think it was 114.3 or something like that. Before that, he had a 74.5 average passer rating against the Browns, his worst against any team that he had ever faced. That includes worse than the Ravens, who he's actually never beat in his career so far, which we hope that that ends up changing this season as we play the Ravens and Willie Snead later on. I love Willie Snead. So look, Drew Brees might have missed on a couple of touchdown passes, and I've talked about it a lot just over the past few days since Sunday, but he's not been bad by any means. In fact, he's been glorious as per usual. And right now he's setting up to have a pretty outstanding year, I think, as many of us expected. Right now, I doubt he'll stay on pace for this, but right now he's on pace for over 5,000 yards, 5,456 yards. Mark Ingram's going to come back week three. The passing game isn't going to be, they're not going to have to lean on the passing game so much because they'll be able to run more often than they can run right now. Alvin Kamara has gotten 19 touches for the past two games. Both of those totals singularly, 19 touches, are more than any single game touch amount that he had at all last season. So he's already carrying his highest for the past two games that he's so far seen in his very young, very young career. But once Mark Ingram comes back, he'll also get, 15 to 20. Alvin Kamara will probably drop to around 15. Above 12 is the magic number for Alvin Kamara in this offense. Let's see if I can remember this. I wrote an article about it not too long ago, but Alvin Kamara, when he received less than 12 touches, the Saints offense scored around 23 points per game. But then when he got more than 12 touches, they scored around 30 points per game. So 12 is the magic number so far in this so far for this offense when it comes to Alvin Kamara. All right, so third down defense was the other place to where the Saints played very well. The big things are that they held them. I was right. It was a 4 of 12. Held the Cleveland Browns 4 of 12 on third downs. Had a sack on third down, forced three incompletions on third down, and then also only allowed 44 yards on third down. So their third down defense really stepped up, played very, very well, which was really good to see. All right, so now let's look at some Pro Football Focus grades, and then we'll move forward. So Demario Davis, Marcus Williams, Marcus Davenport, Marshawn Lattimore are the top four on defense, all scoring 81.8 or higher. And then over on offense, the highest grades were Larry Warford, Ryan Ramczyk, Michael Thomas, and Teron Armstead, all scoring 75.8 or higher. As you can imagine, for the most part, the highest offensive grades are Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, and then the offensive line, for the most part, with the exception of Andres Pete, who fell down a little bit. So, this team is putting it all together. The defense is looking great. I love hearing those names at the top of the defense rated by Pro Football Focus: Demario Davis, Marcus Williams, Marcus Davenport, Marshawn Lattimore. I love hearing those four names up there. Cameron Jordan's that far behind at number six. So this is, things are starting to sort of balance out. You can look at this game against Cleveland, and it's hard to be excited about it. It's hard to be happy with the way that game went, because it could have very well been a blowout had a couple of completions came down and things like that. But with where we sit right now heading into this matchup against Atlanta on Sunday, but for right now, I'm content to sit back and see what happens moving forward to Sunday. But that's going to do it for right now. Coming up next, we'll talk about the NFC South Power Rankings like we do every Tuesday, and then we'll look at the league's biggest news from around the NFL. I'll tell you about who didn't show up to work on Monday and who might be in some trouble. All right, y'all, stick around. All right, y'all, fantasy football is underway, and now we have two fantasy football shows to help you out. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news, and then Locked On Fantasy Football is now Locked On Fantasy Football Experts with amazing guests every day. Mondays, Tom Kesenick, Tuesdays, Eric Edholm, and Wednesdays, Jeff Ratliff and Tyler Lochner. Good Lord, I feel like y'all ask me every day who y'all should be betting on over the weekend, and I can't stop telling y'all enough. I don't know, but if you think that you know, I think it's time now for you to go to my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet for this season. They've been in business for years. They've got great reviews online, and their mobile site is so easy to use that I can use it. Lay down some cash and win today. I only recommend a service to my listeners that has been good to me, and that's why I'm recommending my bookie to you. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and you can even bet on the over-under for fantasy points that any player might score during the weekend. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to make sure that everyone gets the best service available. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they're going to give you an additional $25 free play with deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MYBOO. KIE, and don't forget to use the promo code Locked On when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to wait until after 7 p.m., you can get an additional $25 free play by using the promo code Locked On 25. It's up to you, but I'd definitely wait until after dinner and I'd take that extra money because you play, you win, you get paid. All right, what's good, family? Welcome back. In a little bit, we're going to jump into some of the big news from around the NFL. But for right now, I want to talk about these NFC South power rankings, just like we do it every Tuesday. Non-biased, entirely objective. Saints are number one or whatever. I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But, you know, it's just that, you know, we try to be honest around here. So from last week, the way that everything finished up was essentially we haven't made any changes yet. Saints number one, Falcons number two, Panthers number three, Bucks number four. A lot has happened this week. We learned a lot of things. The Saints are still struggling with the same issues. Third down, still a problem before Cameron Meredith gets involved in this offense and before Mark Ingram comes back. They are still having some trouble getting both the offense and defense to click at the same time. But the defense really sort of straightened up, you know, still a couple. They had that one Antonio Callaway touchdown, 47 yards in the fourth quarter, you know, crunch time, no big deal. But they were mostly able to, you know, on a fourth down. And so mostly they were able to hold up. But it was just like that one play was kind of the big, like that made you shake your head and go, oh Lord, here we go. But it was fine. It ended up fine. It was okay. For the most part, that defense greatly improved on third down. If you'll remember, last week's game or the game before last against the Bucks, it came down to a third and 11 with the defense getting the opportunity to get the ball back in Drew Brees' hand with some time on the clock down eight. Ryan Fitzpatrick scrambles for 12 yards, picks up a first down. This week on those third downs, they held at the end of the game, forcing a fourth down that ended up going for a touchdown, but then also forcing a 52-yard field goal that ended up going wide left. I can't remember which way it went, but it was a miss, and that was on Zane Gonzalez, and that was that whole thing. He had a terrible day, but Will Lutz, like a champion, goes over, consoles him. Beautiful story. It's really great. Look it up. But the Saints are still struggling with some of the same issues that they had last year. Meanwhile, the Bucks have now not only beat the Saints 48-40, but they also have beaten the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles. Now, I'm not entirely surprised by that, to be completely honest. There's no way that what happened on September 9th was a fluke with that offense. Ryan Fitzpatrick is looking too good right now. DeSean Jackson is looking too good right now. That defense is still struggling over there. But for the most part, in terms of their offense, they have an offense over there that's clicking. For how long? I don't know. There's one more week before Jameis Winston comes back. They're talking about still wanting Ryan Fitzpatrick to start. Jameis Winston's probably not going to be happy with that. So we'll see what happens when that whole dynamic comes back together. He's been texting players and been in communication with players and stuff like that. So that's been a whole thing. But the other reason why I'm not entirely surprised by the Eagles losing to the Bucs is the Super Bowl hangover. It happens. It's a big thing. And so, you know, it's going to take them a little while to get clicking. And also, Nick Foles has not been great at the beginning of the season. So they're talking about Carson Wentz starting. I'll talk about a little bit more about this later, but they're talking about Carson Wentz starting week three. So at that point, the Eagles get back on track. So that would have been a different Eagles team going up against the Bucs week two than the Nick Foles-led Eagles team. The Panthers won their opening contest. The Falcons lost theirs to the Eagles. Yeah, Falcons and Panthers played on Sunday. Falcons came out on top of there. So now we're already talking about three-way ties in the NFC South, which I guess isn't all that weird because, you know, it's week two. But, you know, this has always been the commentary around the NFC South. It's tight. It's the, you know, the league's best conference, all of that, which I agree with. I agree. I think that the NFC South is the strongest conference across the board. And particularly if the Bucs are going to be playing like they're playing right now for the rest of the season, that you've got four potential playoff teams in the same conference. And so it's tough every year within that conference, and it's looking like it's going to be shaping up to be the same thing. So for right now, in terms of league standings, the way that the NFC South looks is, of course, the Bucs on top, 2-0. And then there's a bit of a three-way tie in terms of record and for the second spot, because, you know, the Panthers, the Falcons, and the Saints are all 1-1. But in terms of standings, the way that it works out, it's about points for, points against differential. And right now, Atlanta has the only a 1 point, has a plus one differential in points for, points against. And Carolina also has a plus one, but Atlanta has more points for, so therefore they get the second spot. Carolina's got the third spot, quote-unquote third spot. And then New Orleans would technically fall last if this were like fantasy football rankings, because points for, points against, we're the only team in this NFC South right now with a negative differential. We've got 61 points for, 66 points against, so we got to get that whole thing corrected because we're negative five at the moment. So that's going to be, I'm not really taking that into account when I'm looking at power rankings. I mean, record, yes, and stuff like that, but point differential, not so much. But I mean, I got to do it, y'all. I got to do it. We got to win last week, but I don't think that we deserve the top spot right now. But the tough thing is, do I give the top spot to the Bucs because they're 2-0, or do I still look at them as like, I gotta wait and see what's happening with you? Do I give the top spot to another team, like the Falcons, who have a really powerful offense but have lost so many defensive playmakers? Do I give the top spot to the Panthers, who, they look okay, you know? This one's a really tough one. So this is what I'm gonna do, and y'all are gonna hate me for this probably, but this is what I'm gonna do. I'm giving the top spot to the Bucs because they deserve it right now. Whether or not the longevity is there, whether or not it's gonna last, they get my top spot for right now. Just for now, and then we'll see what happens. So I'm going now, Bucs, and then everything else stays in order. Saints, Falcons, and then Panthers. The Panthers defense just looked atrocious against the, I think they gave up 442 yards against the Falcons that were missing Devontae Freeman. The Saints defense bounced back. They barely get, I think it was like 302 yards that they gave up. And, you know, 47 of that came on a chunk play toward the end of the game and everything. So I have to believe a little bit more in the Saints defense than I believe in the Panthers defense right now. And the Falcons are just missing too many pieces for me to move them up above the Saints right now. But honestly, like if I don't really believe in ties for power rankings, but if I had to do it, I would say that the Saints and Falcons are tied for that second spot. Bucs taking the top spot, and then Panthers in the fourth spot. All of that is going to be settled next week when the Saints take on the Falcons. And then the Bucs, one surprise team, are taking on another surprise team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 0-2. And then the Panthers taking on another surprise team, the Bengals, who are 2-0. So everything you thought you knew about the NFL season this season, as of right now, is notwithstanding at all. And that's fine. I mean, that's one of the exciting things about the NFL. You never know what's going to happen. And you also never know how the tides are going to change. So maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers right their ship, despite what's going on over there right now, and the Bucs suffer for it. And then, you know, we'll revisit this. But for right now, I've got Bucs number one, Falcons number two, I'm sorry, Saints number two, Falcons number three, and then Panthers number 4. So stick around. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about some of the biggest news from around the NFL. The Pats just added a new weapon that we should have seen on Sunday. How's that going to work? Is it going to work? We'll talk about it. So sit tight. The Locked On Network is expanding with college shows coming this week. Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, and Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we are already locked on the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, the Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Find your favorite show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. Listen to me. I love Swap.com. I'm not even kidding. I love Swap.com. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off of rental prices on your favorite brands. Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, Gap. I have so much stuff in my closet right now from Swap.com. It's not even funny. I'm not making that up. I'm telling you the truth. I have so much stuff from Swap.com. It's insane. But on top of the deals, here's the thing. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at Swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something that you can also feel good about. So you can save money and you can help the environment and you can look good as hell too. I don't understand why we buy so many new kids' clothes just for them to outgrow every few months. Why spend that kind of money when you can use Swap.com? Quality, hand-inspected items are added every day, and if something doesn't fit, you can enjoy hassle-free returns over 30 days. I'm telling y'all, Swap.com is real. So I have a special offer for Swap.com for you, for our listeners. Get 35% off of select items on your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. Plus, you find new deals every day at Swap.com's homepage. Remember, promo code LOCKEDON, you get 35% off of select items off of your first order. Remember, Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment shop and thrift shop. You get to shop good, you get to feel good, you get to look good, and you get to do good. Swap.com. Check it out. All right, everybody, welcome back. I'm going to run through real quick some of the biggest news from around the NFL. I've got three stories for you. First of all, I want to continue a story from yesterday, which was about Carson Wentz being cleared medically. And I was saying, we don't know if he's actually going to play or if he's just cleared, blah, blah, blah. Well, bump all that. He's playing. He's playing week three. You'll see him on the field. The Eagles will probably, I'm going to say probably officially be back. They're also, I mean, him, Alshon Jeffrey returning, all these other things that are still like in line for them. The Eagles look like they're about to be back and are about to be back to being a contender after starting 1-1 this season. So they'll be someone to keep an eye on as, you know, competition for the Saints as we move further and further through this year leading up to the NFC playoffs. Second story that I have for you, we didn't see him in action in Cleveland, even though we game planned for him. We game planned for Josh Gordon so much that Marshawn Lattimore didn't even cover Jarvis Landry, even though Josh Gordon didn't play. That's how important Josh Gordon was in this game plan or game planning for him defensively. He has been traded. They were talking about releasing him, but they were smart. They were really smart. The Browns organization was. They announced that they would be releasing him. I think it was on Saturday they said it, and then they waited to. They were saying that they were going to release him on Monday, which just gave everyone the opportunity to come through and say, "Oh, but we'll give you something for him." So now they get a fifth round pick from the Patriots to send Josh Gordon to New England. New England also has a stipulation in there that if Josh Gordon is inactive for 10 days, that they'll also get a mid-round or late-round pick from the Browns as well. But it looks like that's not the case because apparently that hamstring injury that Josh Gordon was dealing with that he had during a photo shoot or something like that before practice on, I guess it must have been Friday, apparently, it's fine enough that he might play on Sunday. So there you go. Randy Moss Jr. heading right over to New England to give Tom Brady a target in a Patriot uniform that's not Rob Gronkowski. And finally, to wrap this all up, Antonio Brown got real spicy on Twitter toward a former Steelers employee that had mentioned something about how he's a joke and that Ben Roethlisberger essentially made him and yada, yada, yada. And Antonio Brown just tweeted back out and was like, "All right, trade me. Let's find out." Yo, Pittsburgh's already dealing with a lot with this Le'Veon Bell stuff. There's always the big cloud of Big Ben hanging over your organization. They got a lot going on over there right now. And then now this is just adding fuel to that fire. He also didn't show up to practice on Monday. He didn't show up for work. Now, Mike Tomlin has since released a statement saying that Antonio Brown has not asked for any trade, and he also wouldn't clarify whether or not the absence on Monday was excused or known about or anything like that, but definitely a story to continue to watch, because, man, if Pittsburgh gets put in a position to where they have to make a decision about what to do with Antonio Brown now, after already starting off the season 0-2 and having, oh, sorry, not 0-2, 0-1-1, they tied with the Browns the first game of the season. And then, you know, having to deal with, you know, the whole Le'Veon Bell holdout and everything that's still going on. Thank goodness they've got James Conner over there. They've got Juju Smith-Schuster, but it might be a wild time upcoming at Pittsburgh, depending on how all this plays out. But it's definitely worth keeping an eye on as an interesting story moving forward. All right, everybody, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much. Make sure that you check out tomorrow, Crossover Wednesday. It's actually going to drop very late tonight, but Crossover Wednesday, myself, Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons are going to come together and preview the Saints-Falcons game. And then after that, we'll just continue moving forward through the week, getting ready for that Falcons game. We'll do some previews. I hit up the subreddits, the Saints subreddit and the Falcons subreddit for thoughts. If you haven't seen that, head over to those subreddits. Give me some thoughts about what you want to hear me talk about online. I'm sorry, on air. You'll get mentioned, of course, all that good stuff. So thank you so much for being here today. Once again, my name is Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. Love hearing from y'all. Hit me up. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. Make sure that you find Locked On Saints on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. Just be sure to subscribe so that you know when the newest episode drops every Monday through Friday. Rate, review, share, retweet. Thank you so much for all of your support. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Who Dat Nation,
yeah.
I'll holla at you.